You're listening to Caring Connections with Nicole Bruno, supported by HomeWatch Caregivers, whose mission is to preserve dignity, protect independence, and provide peace of mind for their clients and their loved ones by providing exceptional home care.
News Talk 1360 WCHL is pleased to present Caring Connections with your host, Nicole Bruno. Nicole has over 15 years of experience as a geriatric social worker and administrator, working in the long-term care industry to include skilled nursing care, Alzheimer's care, adult daycare, and home care. She also worked as a family caregiver. In addition, Nicole co-founded a nonprofit in the Triangle that specializes in support for caregivers. And now, Caring Connections.
Thank you for joining us today for this episode of Caring Connections on 1360 WCHL. Today, we will be discussing the Veterans Administration's Aid in Attendance Benefit. Our guest and expert in this field is attorney Roop Gill. With more than 17 years of legal experience, Roop Gill has assisted countless clients with legal matters. Roop's practice is primarily concentrated in estate planning and elder law. Roop is a partner with Walker, Lamb, Rudy, Costley, and Gill, based in Durham. Welcome, Roop.
Thank you very much, Nicole. It's good to be here.
Thanks for coming. We really appreciate it. So this A Veterans Aid and Attendance Benefit. We're hearing that sort of spouted everywhere these days. It seems to be very popular. It was almost used to be the best kept secret, and now I think people are hearing about it, but not quite sure what it is. So there is money available to pay for long-term care for wartime veterans, correct?
Yes. Actually, for wartime veterans, qualified wartime veterans and their widowed spouses.
Okay.
And that's a part that a lot of people aren't aware of.
Sure. And I think we're going to get into more of that. The VA Aid and Attendance Benefits is for veterans and their spouses, as you said. And another thing that I think people don't necessarily know is that they can be backdated from the date of application.
That's correct.
Correct?
Yep. Right. When they would qualify and you do an application, it usually takes about 6 to 9 months for the VA to make a decision.
Mm-hmm. But
if it's done properly, it's backdated back to the date of the application, so you get a lump sum payment.
So those were some teasers. What exactly is this VA Aid and Attendance Benefit?
Well, it's a benefit or a pension available to wartime veterans.
Okay.
There's a strict criteria on being a wartime veteran.
Mm-hmm.
You have to have been on active duty during a time of war,
mm-hmm.
just one day of active duty.
Okay.
Okay? So let's say you were a veteran during World War II,
mm-hmm.
but you stayed right here in Durham.
Okay.
But you're on active duty. That would qualify. You don't actually have to go to the war zone.
So you don't have to be overseas.
Exactly. That's a misconception a lot of people have.
I think so.
So the first thing is one day of active duty during a time of war and 90 consecutive days of active duty, one of which has to be during a time of war. That's the first criteria. The second criteria is that the veteran must have served other than dishonorably. And what that means is they either have to have an honorable discharge when they're done with their service, or it has to be a general discharge.
Okay.
A general discharge could be, for a mental illness, for example.
Okay.
It doesn't have to be an honorable discharge.
Okay.
In fact, it can be a bad conduct discharge. For some veterans, they get in trouble and then they're discharged out of the military. Or they're young and they make poor decisions. But they're discharged out of the military and they don't receive an honorable discharge. They receive a bad conduct discharge. That still doesn't disqualify you for the VA Aid and Attendance Benefit.
Okay.
It must be a dishonorable discharge to disqualify you. And having been a former Air Force JAG, about the only way that you can receive a dishonorable discharge is for a very serious criminal offense. Murder, rape, desertion, things like that.
So regarding this Veterans Assistance Aid and Attendance Benefit, what are some of the other criteria? Is there an income criteria?
There's a income as well as an asset criteria, and I'll come back to that in a second. And there's a disability criteria as well.
Okay.
The VA says that if you're over 65 and a qualified veteran, you actually are disabled.
So even if you really don't have any physical limitations, you're still considered.
Yeah, but
based on age.
That's for some types of disabilities. For the aid and attendance, it has to be a little bit beyond that.
Okay.
You must have a disability, and there must be an affidavit, usually filled out by your physician.
Okay.
That states what the disability is. One, it could be blindness.
Okay.
That's a disability the VA recognizes. Or if the claimant's living in a nursing home already, you know, the VA mm-hmm. recognizes that the reason the claimant's living in a nursing home is they must have some type of disability. So that's a qualifying criteria. The last one is if the veteran is unable to dress, undress, or keep self clean and presentable.
Mm-hmm.
That's number one. Number two, unable to attend the wants of nature. That's the VA's way of saying can't go to the bathroom by themselves.
Okay.
You know, must be escorted or taken to the bathroom. And the third one is has a physical or mental incapacity that requires assistance on a regular basis to protect claimant from daily environmental hazards.
Could this be like an Alzheimer's or dementia?
That's exactly mm-hmm. what the VA is saying. They're saying if you've got dementia, a cognitive issue,
mm-hmm.
then early dementia, that would be a qualifying disability.
Hmm.
So once you have the military service, once you have the disability, you know, over age 65 and disabled, then they look at the income and the asset limits.
Okay.
And what the VA says is that if you have other than your home and a car,
okay,
if you have more than about $80,000 in countable assets, then you don't need the pension, okay. But if you have less than $80,000,
sure,
in countable assets, then you may or may not qualify depending on your age.
So people with $80,000 up are just out of this.
They're going to be out. Of countable assets. However, there are ways to make assets over $80,000 non-countable for VA purposes. There's various ways to do that. That's what we assist our clients with.
If somebody's listening and, you know, they just heard that and they think, okay, then my dad's out, don't necessarily think.
That's not true.
Okay.
Yeah, that is absolutely not true. That's our niche where mm-hmm. we can help a claimant make some assets that are over the $80,000 limit
mm-hmm.
Non-countable for VA purposes. The final criteria is the income limit.
Okay.
And the VA will deny benefits if the veteran or the widowed spouse's countable income exceeds the permissible family limits.
Okay.
The way you've got to understand that is, let's say the veteran has about $1,000 in Social Security of mm-hmm. income every month.
Sure.
If he qualifies for the VA aid in attendance, he's going to receive roughly $1,600 a month.
Okay.
But because he has $1,000 in income, they're going to reduce it dollar for dollar.
Okay.
What the VA allows you to do is if that veteran has what are called unmet medical expenses, mm-hmm. UMEs,
okay,
then it can reduce accountable income. So if you've got $1,000 in income, but you've got a
home care cost
home care,
or,
yeah, you've
yeah.
got a... you've got a home care agency that comes mm-hmm. in and helps take care of dad for several hours a day,
mm-hmm.
and the cost of that per month is over $1,000. Well, from a VA perspective, the unmet medical expenses have now reduced the income down to zero.
Okay. Well, that is wonderful information to have, and we are going to take a quick break. I'm here today with Roop Gill, attorney who's very experienced in elder law and estate planning, talking about Veterans Administration's aid and attendance benefit, and we'll be right back.
Caring Connections with Nicole Bruno on News Talk 1360 WCHL is supported by HomeWatch Caregivers. And now, more of Caring Connections.
Welcome back. I'm here today with Roop Gill, elder law and estate planning attorney on 1360 WCHL, talking about the Veteran Administration's aid and attendance benefit. And I'm your host, Nicole Bruno. Welcome back.
Well, good to be back.
Okay. So I know that we want to talk a little bit about exactly what is this benefit in dollars and cents.
Exactly. We didn't mention it in the first section or the first segment. For a veteran, it's and I think I said about $1,650 has actually gone up this year.
Okay.
And it's $1,704 a month for a qualified war veteran.
They got a raise.
Yes. And for a widowed spouse, I indicated earlier that if you've got a widowed spouse who is not remarried, of a qualified war veteran, and now she's disabled and needing care at home or in a nursing home, she can receive $1,094 a month, $1,094 a month for a surviving spouse. Well, what if both the veteran and the spouse are disabled? Then it's a little over $2,000. It's $2,020.
That's a pretty good amount of money.
Absolutely. It, you know, with the average cost of an assisted living facility running between $3,000 and $4,000 a month in the Triangle area, that's a huge benefit.
Mm-hmm.
For skilled nursing, which runs between about $9,000 in the Triangle area, it can be a lifesaver for a lot of couples. One thing that a lot of people aren't aware of with the VA aid in attendance is that this pension is available whether you're at home or in a assisted living or a skilled nursing facility.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're at home and you're having caregivers come in and help take care of mom,
mm-hmm.
A mom, if she's a widowed spouse, might qualify for this benefit.
Would an adult daycare center qualify as? Like a medical model type, and maybe
it depends on what type of medical care they're receiving. Remember, it has to be an unmet medical expense mm-hmm. to reduce that income.
Yeah.
And with people coming in to help take care of mom at home, presumably for medical issues,
sure.
Then that's going to reduce mom's countable mm-hmm. income. If it's a daycare and it's just regular daycare and not any type of medical care, then the VA may not consider it an unmet medical expense.
Most people who attend adult daycares, though, do have an Alzheimer's dementia diagnosis usually. So
yes.
Hopefully you would have to check and see, mm-hmm. I guess. One of those.
It's really a no-brainer for assisted living facilities and skilled nursing facilities.
Okay.
But I think you've got to look at it case by case on adult daycare.
So getting back to the nuts and bolts of it, we talked a little bit about income and assets. What about net worth?
Well, we kind of mentioned it earlier. If you got more than $80,000, and the VA
total.
Considers
okay.
it that you have more than enough to take care of yourself. Well, I had indicated earlier that one of the things that we do is help a veteran or a veteran and his spouse reduce their accountable assets. There's several ways to do that. One way is to use an irrevocable trust.
Okay. What's that?
An irrevocable trust is, by its very name, a trust that cannot be changed once it's set up. And typically, a veteran and a spouse set it up. Assets are placed into the irrevocable trust. The veteran and his spouse do not have access to the principal or the income mm-hmm. from that irrevocable trust, and that's important. Because there's other types of irrevocable trusts where you can receive income, and they're fine from a Medicaid planning perspective,
mm-hmm.
but they will not work for VA planning.
Okay.
So once those assets are placed into the irrevocable trust, the VA considers them unavailable because they are
mm-hmm.
to the veteran. And the veteran and or his spouse might qualify for VA benefits immediately because unlike Medicaid, which a lot of people are familiar with, with Medicaid, there's what's called a look-back period.
Mm-hmm.
So if you move assets out of dad's name, for example.
Today, and place them in a nursing home tomorrow, what happens?
Right. Then Medicaid
yep.
or DSS, the agency at the local level that evaluates Medicaid claims, from the date that dad goes into the nursing home, which is a snapshot date, they're going to look back 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
It's a three-prong test. He's in a nursing home. But for anything that he's given away, he would qualify for Medicaid. And number three, he's filed a Medicaid application.
Mm-hmm.
They'll look back 5 years. It'll be five years. It'll be 5 years by this fall. It's not exactly 5 years yet.
Okay.
But we're planning on
might
it being
well.
5 years because that's what it's changing to by November 1st of this year. So if Medicaid looks back in the 5 year period and sees that $50,000 was given away to mm-hmm. an irrevocable trust,
sure.
they're going to penalize dad for giving away an asset in order to qualify for for Medicaid.
But that's not the case with the VA benefit.
The VA doesn't care. Current law is the VA, if you put it into an irrevocable trust, is non-countable and there's no look back period.
There seems like there must be a whole lot of people eligible for this. Do you have any ideas in the numbers or do you have a sense of that?
Well, I know that in North Carolina, we have, I'd say, over 500,000
people eligible?
Wartime veterans.
Oh, okay.
And I'd say roughly out of the about 570,000, I'd say about 250,000.
Wow.
Maybe over 65 or older.
Wow.
And if they're disabled, you know, there's a chance that they may be eligible. They just don't know about it. You know, I spent 21 years in the Air Force, mm-hmm. and I went through the out processing when I retired from the Air Force. Mm-hmm. And they talked to us about the VA and some of the VA benefits that are available
sure.
out there. But all of the VA benefits that they discussed are based on a disability that you incurred during your service.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So a service-connected disability. Well, the VA in attendance was never mentioned.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't learn about that until after I retired and I started assisting some veterans with their
wow.
claims. The other wonderful thing about the VA aid in attendance pension is that it doesn't have to tie back to your military service.
Mm-hmm.
So it does not have to be service connected.
Okay, great. Well, we are going to take a quick break. I'm here today with Roop Gill talking about the aid in attendance benefit on 1360 WCHL, and we will be right back.
Caring Connections with Nicole Bruno on News Talk 1360 WCHL is supported by HomeWatch Caregivers. And now, more of Caring Connections.
Welcome back. I'm here today with Roop Gill talking about the Veterans Administration's aid and attendance benefit on 1360 WCHL. And I'm your host, Nicole Bruno. Okay, so we sort of touched a little bit on the differences between Medicaid planning and the look-back period and the VA look-back period, but talk to us a little bit more about that.
Sure, Nicole. Yeah, well, first of all, the VA doesn't have a look-back period.
Okay.
And Medicaid does. As a lot of people, I think, already know, Medicaid's a federal law implemented at the state level,
mm-hmm.
and every state has done it a little differently.
Right.
In North Carolina, I think North Carolina's done a pretty good job of implementing Medicaid. There's a Medicaid manual that anybody can look up online that talks about the rules in North Carolina
sure.
as far as Medicaid goes. The reason I think we should discuss Medicaid is that when you do VA aid and attendance
mm-hmm.
planning,
right?
And we talked about several a couple of techniques. One of the techniques was the irrevocable trust.
Mm-hmm.
Well, If a veteran, let's say, you know, dad is a veteran and mm-hmm. he qualifies for VA aid in attendance and we utilize an irrevocable trust, we know that there's no look back period, so he's going to qualify. He receives about $1,700 a month and he's in an assisted living facility.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what if a year down the road, dad has, unfortunately, a massive stroke?
Right.
And now he needs skilled nursing care,
mm-hmm.
which
costs more.
Which, yes, twice as much more than assisted living, mostly. Well, how is the planning that was done for VA aid and attendance going to impact qualifying for Medicaid?
What happens?
Well, unfortunately, people get in this bind quite a bit.
Mm-hmm.
We've helped quite a few veterans get out of this bind. If you set up an irrevocable trust, remember there's no look-back period for the VA aid and attendance program, but there's a five-year look-back for Medicaid.
Right.
So you have to do planning. Whenever you're doing any kind of VA aid and attendance planning, you have to keep in mind
That look back,
and what if dad gets worse and needs to go into skilled nursing care? Are we going to be able to undo some of this planning
mm-hmm.
and not have it impact dad so that he doesn't qualify for Medicaid for 5 years or more? That's why I think it's very important that you have the right person assisting you with VA aid and attendance planning.
Sure.
You need to have someone who has an excellent knowledge
mm-hmm.
of the Medicaid rules
mm-hmm.
so that whatever is done on the VA aid and attendance side is not going to prohibit dad or a loved one from qualifying for Medicaid if necessary in the next 5 years.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So let's talk a little bit about your firm. It sounds like you have a special niche in this area. Are you the only person at your firm that...
Yeah, we actually, we have several attorneys, okay. Myself, Mark Costley, mm-hmm. Miriam Markfield, Jennifer Dahlman. We have about four attorneys who work in the elder law section.
In Chapel Hill as well as Durham?
Yeah, we have two offices. Okay. We have one in Chapel Hill at Southern Village, okay. And we have our main office is in Durham.
Okay.
But it might as well be in Chapel Hill because it's right across Highway 40 from Chapel Hill, right off of 54. Three of us are certified by the VA to assist veterans and their widowed spouses with VA planning. So if someone's assisting you, you can go to the va.gov website,
okay.
And you can look them up and see if they're certified.
Do
by
you
the
have
VA.
To be certified to fill out the paperwork?
Yes. Okay. Legally, to assist a veteran or a widowed spouse with VA aid and attendance planning, you must be certified by the VA.
Wow. They're
very clear in their rules. And like I said, you can look it up right on the va.gov website, www.va.gov.
Seems like everybody and their brother's doing it these days, so that's a good thing to know.
Yeah.
I did not know that.
Yeah. Just
Be
do your due diligence and check out who's assisting you.
Well, in the last few seconds that we have, do you have a couple resources you want to discuss?
Sure. There's a couple. One is the National Academy of Elder Law Attorneys.
Okay.
That's www.naela.org.
Okay.
Excellent website for elder law related issues. And then the second one is www.veteranaid.org.
Okay.
This actually is a website set up by a lady who assisted her father through the VA process.
Okay.
And very, very good website. I know her, and excellent resources on there for someone who wants to study up on VA aid and attendance.
And if somebody wanted to get more information from you, how would they do that?
You can go to our website, www.walkerlambe.
Okay.
Lamb is misspelled title.com. Or just call us, 919-493-8411. That's 493-8411.
Well, thank you for joining Roop Gill and I today as we discuss the Veteran Administration's aid and attendance benefit on 1360 WCHL. And as always, you may email your caregiving issues to caring@1360wchl.com.
The purpose of Caring Connections is to educate listeners to help improve the quality of life for families, for professional caregivers, as well as for those people afflicted with Alzheimer's disease.
Caring Connections with Nicole Bruno is supported by HomeWatch Caregivers and can be heard Saturdays at 10 a.m. Email questions to caring@1360wchl.com. Caring Connections is a presentation of News Talk 1360 WCHL.